Hey listeners, this is the Tradie HQ podcast and this episode is sponsored by Direct Image. Direct Image are a Perth-based printing company based in Subiaco. They do the full range of printing from vehicle wraps to pull-up banners, building side signs, illuminated signs, anything you can think of with regards to signage, in-house design, the whole turnkey solution. And I've done business with Ray and Steve for many years now, and when I first had the idea of Tradie HQ and needed a partner in the on the signage side of things, they were the first guys who I thought of, and after a quick meeting they were on board straight away. So a massive thanks to them, and as always, being sponsors of Tradie HQ, they're a part of our affiliate program. So if you do need any signage or printing done, whether it's, like I say, pull-up banners, shopfront signage, go to our other sponsor, CNW Osborne Park, and you'll see the signage there that the boys have done for them. Vehicle signage, vehicle wraps, all that sort of stuff. Give them a shout. I'll put their details in the podcast notes. And if you go to the Tradie HQ website, tradiehqwa.com.au, you can see that they are down there as the sponsors, and there's a link to their website there as well. So again, big thanks to Steve and Ray and the rest of the team at Direct Image, and let's get on with the podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the Tradie HQ podcast. My name is Dan, and the next podcast you're about to hear is a chat between me and Katie Marshall. So Katie Marshall has a business called Efficient Tradie, is a bookkeeper, has a background in banking, is the wife, daughter, granddaughter, niece of a whole range of tradies, and she has also been bestowed the honour of writing the Australian version of the Profit First for Contractors, which is called Profit First for Tradies. So for those unfamiliar with the Profit First system, it was done by Mike Michalowicz out of the States, and it's just got a really interesting system behind it in terms of helping us with our finances within a business. And obviously Katie's the one who's been tasked with writing the Australian version for tradies, so there's a really interesting chat that we've had. She goes into a fair bit of detail on what she does and what she believes in, and her experiences with tradies. So have a listen, let me know what you think. I'll put all the details of the book release and herself and her business in the podcast notes. So you can find them out. But have a listen, let me know what you think. As always, hit me back with some feedback if you'd like to hear from someone specifically. Rate the podcast and share it with someone who you think might get something out of it. Thanks, guys. Have a listen.
Yeah, we can meet whereabouts. There should be a cafe around here somewhere.
Welcome to the Tradie HQ podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Tradie HQ, Australia's first co-working and business incubator aimed specifically at trade-based businesses. Hey guys, welcome back to the Tradie HQ podcast. This is Dan, and today I am fortunate enough to be doing a Zoom interview with a lady by the name of Katie Marshall. Now, Katie was introduced to me by Will Marvel from Marvel Tile and Stone, so thank you, Will. And this introduction was off the back of one of my earlier podcasts where I went through a list of audiobooks and normal books and podcasts that I've been digesting over the last year or so. And one of those that I mentioned was a book called Profit First for Contractors. Now, Profit First is a brand or a type of methodology that was started in the States. And then there was another book put out called Profit First for Contractors, which was relevant to us as tradespeople, but it was still an American-based book. So there were some nuances in there and some terminology that didn't really wasn't immediately apparent when it came across to us. And by mentioning that on my podcast, Will reached out and said, "Hey, were you aware that there's a lady by the name of Katie Marshall who has been tasked with the job of making the Australian version of this book called Profit First for Tradies?" So that is who we're fortunate enough to speak with now. So hi, Katie, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you for making the time. So Katie is over in New South Wales, so that's a massive 3-hour difference for us now with daylight savings. So it's 5 a.m. here and 8 a.m. over there. So it's a nice early start for me. So guys, just by means of introduction, Katie is comes from a banking background and then bookkeeping and business coaching, and as I mentioned, is now tasked with the job of making the Profit First book called Profit First for Tradies for us here in Australia, based off the Profit First model that started in the States. So, how did you come about that, Katie? How are you fortunate enough to be trusted with this?
So I came across Profit First in 2005, right after Mike Michalowicz wrote his original version. And I, at the time, had a bookkeeping business working with tradies. And with the bookkeeping side of things, my goal has always been to make it really efficient and effective and using apps and programs to make that process as simple as possible. So I love Xero and HubDoc. There are other options out there which work for other people, but that's what we focus on. So I was wanting something more than just being able to help my tradies with the bookkeeping. So I read Profit First, loved the book, started implementing it in my own business to make sure that obviously it worked, because I don't recommend anything that I haven't tried myself. And did that for a little while, but then never progressed to becoming certified and actually being able to teach that model. I had young children at the time, so I just didn't have the focus. So in 2018, it was, I finally decided that I had to do more for my tradies. Having their bookkeeping efficient and set up really easily just was not making the impact that I wanted it to make. Nice and easy, but it still wasn't helping them have more money in the bank or being able to pay their bills on time. And so that really frustrated me. So that is when I finally went back to Profit First and decided to become certified, which I did. And then last year in May, we were very fortunate to have Mike Michalowicz himself come out and do a mastermind with us for a day. So I was one of, I think there was 14 of us in the room, which is, you know, that's something really, really special and something not to be taken lightly. So I made sure that I was all in on that day. I was all ears. I was going to soak up anything I could from, you know, Mike is about to release his 6th business book. So he's built and sold a number of multi-million dollar businesses. So I made sure I was going to learn as much as I could. And what happened, we were having lunch. Mike happened to sit next to me and we were just having a conversation about what I do. Funnily enough, he's a very normal, down-to-earth type of guy, which shows through in when you read his book or listen to his audio, you can tell he really is...
passionate.
You know, he really is passionate and for the business owner. So we're having a conversation over lunch, and towards the end, he mentioned, you know, he asked if I knew that there had been some niche books written in America. So there's Profit First for Contractors, and at the time, Profit First for e-commerce sellers, which I had. I had copies of both those books because I like to keep up to date with what's going on. And he just casually said, "I think you could write the tradies book."
Wow.
And I kind of looked at him, thought he was crazy, and just went, "Oh, I don't know about that." And he went, "Yeah, I think you could." So lunch finished. We went back for the rest of the day. By the time I got back to my hotel that night, I realised that I had to do it. Fortunately for me, I had been part of a business group called Key Person of Influence, or KPI, by Dent. And part of their program is to publish and to write a book. So I had a sufficient amount of training on how to do that process, and I had a lot of contacts in that area because of the KPI program. So for me, it was sending off a couple of emails to the right people to help me out to do that. And we started that in September, October last year. Final proof has been done and we are about to go to print in the next couple of weeks. So it was just kind of when Mike suggested, you don't let that sort of opportunity go. And I've also, as you mentioned, with Profit First, it is American-based, so there are a lot of little changes that we make here in Australia for it to suit our tax systems, and then also that I've adjusted to work well with tradies. So that's how it comes out. Lunch with Mike and a suggestion.
Yeah, that's an amazing story in terms of how that all transpired, just, you know, through the opportunity of having lunch and then next thing you know, you've been tasked with writing the Australian version of their book. Oh, that's a really cool story. So does that, do you think that's going to open the gateway for more Australian-specific versions of the book to come out?
Absolutely. One thing I didn't realise, or it didn't dawn on me, I guess, for most of the process was that I'm the first in Australia to do this. I have the experience now. So any of the other Profit First professionals who have niches, I'm like, do it. Like, it's not that hard. In fact, it is a very big time investment, but it is well worth it, because as I move to the end of it now and I've sent it out to be reviewed by some tradies as well along that process, and the feedback has been things like, oh, it just is so simple. It's just really easy to follow. It makes sense now, because with Mike's version, obviously, we need to do that sort of mental calculation. Oh, we don't call it that. What is it called here? Mm. We don't do that step. What do we need to do? So there's still a little bit of work for us in Australia to adapt Profit First. So now I'm just excited to be able to reach so many more tradies who potentially wouldn't have worked with me before, whereas now they'll have the book available to them. And literally you can buy the book and follow from, the beginning to the end and do it all yourself if you want. That I wrote the book specifically for that. There will be many people that will use the book that way, and there'll be many people who still need that accountability, that coaching, that ongoing support, which they can obviously get as well, but at least they have something that they can just read and follow rather than having to think about those changes. Because we know if we have to think too hard, then we tend to put it down and not do anything. And that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted tradies to be able to just have that guide to be able to help them turn their cash flow around.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess, even for you, having the opportunity and, having to employ the focus in order to write this book, that must have done amazing things for your, and whilst I'm sure it was already comprehensive, but, your overall comprehension of the model, like, must have really helped your process as well.
Absolutely. And what I found is you think you know a system. So to be a Profit First professional, there's quite an extensive certification process that we have to go through over a period of a few months. So it includes online learning, practical, there's assessments we have to upload. So it's really, really comprehensive. But when you have to write your guide for Profit First for tradies, it absolutely makes you understand and really look at the finer details, which certainly has, I'm a completely different coach to what I was 6 months ago before writing this book, completely different, because there's so many things that I've looked at and went, oh, actually, that doesn't quite work. This is what we need to do. And I've tested and measured on my clients as well to see what works for them, what doesn't work for them. Tradies is a broad term, but within our tradies, there are obviously different types of tradies. And I've found that with some specifically, there are also then some other changes that I would make to the basic Profit First for tradies to help them in the way they do things. So it really does make you look at every little thing in detail and make sure that you know it and understand it, and that it actually is going to work out in the field for the tradies.
Yeah. So I guess for the listeners who aren't familiar with the Profit First system, do you think you could summarise? Is it? I mean, I've got a bit of a summary myself, but I think it's going to be better coming from you. Like, how would you best summarise the profit first system?
So, really simply, it's a cash flow method. So it is just a way of managing your cash so that you have money put aside for those things that we need: tax, superannuation, payroll if we have staff, our general bills. We tend to overcomplicate it because when we talk about money, more often than not, there's a lot of emotion behind it. And when we struggle with our cash and not having enough to pay bills when they fall due, or we're not having anything left over at the end of the year, or not making a profit, we tend to kind of put it in a too hard basket and say, oh, you know, everybody's in this boat. This is the norm for tradies. And whilst it has been the norm in the past, what Profit First does, it just gives you a really simple structure to follow to be able to make sure you're putting money aside for each of those things. So Profit First works similar to the old kind of envelope system that our grandparents or our great-grandparents would have used. You know, back then they had a certain amount of money. They put X amount in there, say groceries, bills and so on. And when that money ran out of that envelope, well, you just had to make do until the next pay period come around. So similar concepts with Profit First. The money you've got in your operating expenses account, for example, your OPEX, once that runs out and you've still got bills to pay, well, then you need to start getting a little bit creative. So it forces you to then look at your bills and, you know, are you paying for, you know, mobile phones is a big one, paying for a plan that is well over what you need and it's just a waste of 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks a month. The amount of time I see clients who are paying for an insurance for a truck or a ute or a piece of equipment that they sold months or years ago is probably about 70%, because it just keeps coming out, you don't pay any attention to it, and you're just not aware. So Profit First helps you focus on those different areas to make you aware of what's going on and help you make better choices, because you now can see it. It can get quite complicated. Some people make it very, very complicated, and it actually doesn't need to be. It is a very simple system once you know and understand it, and once you implement it. It takes very little effort each week to keep it flowing. Is it easy? Not always. There's always a tough period at the beginning because you have to start sort of looking at your numbers, which we tend to not do very often. But certainly after that period of, oh, my gosh, what's happening, it becomes a very, very simple system to be able to implement and use ongoing.
Yeah, I think one of my sort of semi-favourite terms is things like this are simple but not necessarily easy. So, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's, especially when I was going through the Profit First for contractors, it sort of, it resonated with me a lot because it sort of it helps the business owner develop habits, you know, and once you develop those habits, you know, that opens up the sort of the bandwidth available to focus on the other things, you know. So and I think that given the amount of automation that's available now, and as you mentioned before, you with HubDoc and Xero and other platforms like that, you know, there's no excuse not to employ those available resources to free up time, you know, and take something off your plate as the business owner.
Exactly. And what I find is very few people choose not to use those resources. What I find is that they just don't know and understand what's available or to the extent in which they can actually help. They're more often than not so caught up in just trying to work the, you know, I rarely see a tradie who's working 40 hours a week, you know, to start with. It's normally 50, 60, 70 plus hours a week. So they're so caught up in out there doing the job or getting the jobs done that they don't have the time to implement or research those sorts of systems to be able to give them back some time to make it less stressful for them. And profit first will do that, obviously, with the cash flow part of it, because when you know and understand what your cash is doing, it makes it much easier to make decisions. I see a lot of tradies who will do jobs, go out and take jobs on that they're not making any money on, because they feel like they have to take the job on and they need the money. I always say you can stay home and go broke.
Don't work 70, 80 hours
and go broke. The result is the same, except one, at least you're going to be, you know, not working yourself into the bone. So, yeah, I find that it is them just not being aware of what's available to them because they are so caught up in the doing that they can't work on their business. And that's what we help them do with through my bookkeeping side, Efficient Trading, or through Profit First. They kind of come hand in hand. If I see a client comes to me to work on Profit First, the first step we do is we look at their bookkeeping and we get that right, because your numbers are the foundation for everything in your business, and we want to make sure that they're correct, because otherwise, if that's not right, you know, if you don't get the foundation right, the house will eventually fall down. It might be a slow falling down or it could be a quick falling down, but we always make sure that those numbers are right. And typically not an exciting subject to talk about for tradies. They tend to want to just kind of skip over to the let me just get out and do the job. But I've found once we do teach them what's available and what it can do for them, they're very quick to adopt and to change. And, you know, my favorite thing to receive is an email normally 3-4 months down the track from my tradies going, oh, my gosh, I get it now. Like, everything's falling into place. And it's like, yes, this is what we love, because I know what that outcome's going to be for them. So I get quite excited for them. But they're still in that phase of, this is hard. I don't know. I can't see that it's going to change. It won't be any better. Whereas, as I said, I can see that end result for them. So it's very rewarding to get those emails or those phone calls.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess that's sort of the contradiction, isn't it, where, you know, people and tradies might be hesitant in sitting down and talking numbers and you know, talking about these things with you or whoever their accounting professional is. But obviously the payoff of getting that sorted out in the beginning is the fact that you will have, you know, hours. I mean, I've recently sort of tried to sit down as part of a blog that I was, or an article that I was putting together, and just sort of roughly calculated some time where, you know, if we compare someone who's using, you know, a full suite of automated and integrated software versus someone who is, you know, still generating an invoice on Excel and you know, all that, and following up manually and all that sort of stuff. And the time that you can save is staggering, like literally, you know, weeks to a month, a year in you know, time saved in having to send out invoices and you know, and you know, reconcile bank accounts the old way instead of just a checkbox and that sort of thing.
It makes such a difference. And what I find is tradies tend to be very bad at talking about numbers, or they'll dip their toe in the water and will just talk about it. You know, they might have a chat to their accountant, and their accountant, some have fabulous accountants, others have kind of standard accountants who do the end of the year tax, slide the profit and loss and balance sheet across the table. It tells you you've made a profit. You're sitting there going, I don't have that money in my account. What's going on?
Yeah.
You sign away, you get out of there because you're embarrassed because you've just done that for the third or fourth or fifth year in a row, and there's no conversation around it. So what we like to do is it's very much about education. We like to be able to educate our tradies so they know and understand what we're talking about. They're not going to be experts in the numbers. That's not what we want to do. But what we want to do is give them the understanding of why we're doing things and what you need to look at. Like, I don't love profit and loss and balance sheets as they stand as just a document. Without looking at them and pulling them apart like we're doing Profit First and making sense of it, there's no point to them. But unfortunately, that's what the standard has been. And the amount of tradies I see who will say to me, I couldn't ask my accountant because I was so embarrassed. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't mention it to, you know, because he explained it last year and I can't remember. It's like, you can't remember because we were bored and there was no value in it for you. So we, as I said, it's very much around the education and then the doing. What can we do today that is going to take you one step forward? And then, you know, next week, what's the next step and the next step? Profit first will not change your business overnight. There's no magic wand that can just make everything perfect overnight. It's a steady step-by-step, one-at-a-time process. And every tradie will work at a different pace. And we just make sure we combine that with the education, because the more you know, the better decisions you can make. The better decisions you make, then everything changes. Education changes everything.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess, and so that's obviously what you provide as well, is something really important in what you just spoke about then, and that's support, you know, but friendly support, you know, support from someone who understands. Like you say, that the thing with the accountants, and, you know, and I've had friends, and I've been in that situation as well, where exactly what you said, you know, that all of a sudden you're sitting there and they're like, okay, so here's, you know, here's your bottom line, blah, blah, blah. You've got to pay tax on this money that you earn, and you're sitting there going, well, hang on a minute, why am I paying this extraordinary amount of tax? But yeah, the cash flow just hasn't been there. Now with the profit first system, so as the name implies, I mean, it's for those who are unaware, it's sort of, the idea is that you work out how many cents in a dollar of profit you should have, and then you put that away first. Correct?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So Mike, when he was writing the book, during that process, did case studies with thousands and thousands of different size businesses. So when Mike writes the book, it's not a quick 6 month process like I did. It's a 3-4+ year process. He obviously does a lot of research into his method, particularly with Profit First, because it was something new. So what he has done is taken all that information from all those different types of businesses, sizes of businesses, and analysed it and worked out that there's some percentages that are kind of the ballpark that what we should aim for. So the first percentage that we... So there's a whole calculation around how we get that, which I won't go into today, but the book does talk about that. And with Profit First for Tradies, there is a whole toolbox section where there is downloadables, there's videos, lots of education pieces around there for you as well. But as an example, if you are a business with what we call a real revenue range, so that's after your GST has come out and your materials and subs, if you're between $0 to $250,000 a year, you would put aside 5% for profit. Now, most people who are not putting anything away for profit at the moment or would say, how the hell do I put 5% away? Like, I'm barely scraping by. So the idea is to put 1% away. So every time your invoice comes in, you put aside your GST, you take and put aside anything that is for materials and subs for that job, and then what's left, you put 1% of that in your profit account. And that small step helps us change our habits and helps us change the way we look at things, and profit becomes the first step rather than the afterthought. Because at the moment, it is the afterthought. It is that profit and loss split across the table, and the money's not there. This is a physical taking of that cash and putting it in that profit account. And it, as we said, changes our behaviours. And it's surprising how just changing over that small percentage makes a difference. When I first started to implement Profit First in my own business, my profit account was not very big. So after the end of the first quarter, you take 50% of that profit and you have to spend it on yourself. You can't reinvest it back into the business. You can't pay for a course for the business. You can't buy new tools. You can't do anything for the business. You have to spend it on yourself. Many people would think that would be a really easy process. For many of us, it's not. It's really difficult because we are not used to rewarding ourselves for being the business owner. And that's what the profit is about. So that's separate to us taking the wage that we deserve because of the work we are doing in the business. This is actually rewarding ourselves for being that business owner, because we all know what comes with that. There's a whole lot of, you know, stress and all that sort of thing as well. So this is that reward for doing that. But quarter on quarter, it becomes much easier, and you form new habits, and it makes it, you then start seeing results, which is always exciting for my tradies.
Yeah, and just to clarify that a little bit, so that, excuse me, that 1%, or even the 5% that you spoke about before, this is after the business owner has actually paid themselves a wage for the hours that they've put into the business. Isn't that, that's right, hey?
So the process, when you do, for example, if you get invoices paid in the week, you would choose one day a week that you would sit down and do your what we call allocations. So the first allocation you would do would be your into your profit account. The second allocation would be your owner's pay. So, yes, you pay yourself. And the goal of Profit First is to pay yourself the wage you deserve and pay yourself a profit as a reward for,
for being
you
business.
Taking the risks in, in business. So what Profit First will do is for many of us who, for many people who don't take a set wage, or for many who just take 500 here, 300 there, 1,000 here, it helps you get into that habit of going, okay, I'm actually worth, I work 40 hours a week on the tools, for example, I should be getting X amount of dollars. So we work that into Profit First. You need to make sure you're paying yourself what you deserve as well, because otherwise you don't have a viable business. You just have a whole lot of stress. So Profit First will help you work out that. And many people, many tradies, when they come to me, cannot see how that's possible. They cannot see how they're going to be paying themselves what they should be, let alone taking any profit. But the system helps you focus on what you need to do to make sure that you can do that. And it works, obviously. So
yeah, and I think that when I first read the Profit First for Contractors, that was the thing that jumped out at me, because prior to reading that, I've witnessed a lot of business owners who do exactly what you said there. You know, they take money here and there, and there's no real rhyme or reason to it. It's literally, and you know, the cash flow is determined by the balance in the bank as opposed to any form of sort of accounting acumen. And prior to reading the book, I'd thought about ways around it, and one thing I'd thought of was that, well, maybe if you're going to start out as a business, you need to have yourself as an employee, you know, and pay yourself a wage, so that, you know, not only is it forcing you to consider the business as though it did have an employee and someone who needed to be paid, which of course you do, but also it would mean that you were paying, you know, ongoing tax for yourself. So there's one part of tax that, you know, wasn't a surprise at the end of the year. But then, yeah, as I was going through Profit First for Contractors, and that all sort of came out, and obviously to a different degree, whereby, like you said, it's almost like that envelope system where you've got a series of accounts and each one of them gets an allocation based on the percentage of the turnover. I thought that, and that was really jumped out at me as a great system to help guys and girls with the discipline side of things that doesn't come naturally, you know, because unfortunately a lot of people decide to go out on their own with the best intentions in mind, but unfortunately not enough training or experience or mentorship or someone to guide them through the process and warn them of the pitfalls that, you know, can catch them out along the way. With that in mind, and this is something that I've thought of in the past as well, have you considered, or do you know if there's any scope to get a financial institution on board that can do a package like this, you know, so that if someone's got a business account, there's scope to have automatic dispersions occur as money comes in? Is that anything you guys have thought about? Or
so for those, I'll take a bit step back on this one. So yeah. If anyone hasn't read Barefoot Investor by Scott Pape, so he obviously has done very, very well out of that. He is hilarious. The books are very easy to read. And that's around similar process, envelope system, but for personal finances, amongst other things. He does advocate for some other financial things in there as well. So if you haven't read that from a personal point of view, absolutely read that, because what we find is when tradies are taking 1,000 here, 500 there and so on, it's also because they don't understand what their personal needs are, their personal income needs are, so they just kind of use their business as a bit of a bank.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something to look at. So I know from that he has obviously had, he has a huge following, and the banks have not come on board with any systems that will do it automatically. Realistically, from a practical basis, you might get an invoice that is worth $5,000 this week. You might have an invoice that is worth $10,000 next week. So, yes, the percentages will work, but your materials and subs are going to be different on each of those. So it wouldn't work because you're going to have to take out different materials and subs.
Yeah, exactly.
From a practical point of view, the amount of time it takes myself and my clients to sit down once a week, look at how much income's come in, work out what that dollar figure is. So we have I have a templated spreadsheet for my clients. So they literally put in the invoice amount. It works out their materials and subs, and then it splits out the percentages. To do that and make those transfers in their bank account can be done in 3 minutes. Once you know what you're doing and you stop thinking about it and you stop overthinking it, 3 minutes tops. From entering the information in that spreadsheet, logging onto internet banking and doing those transfers. So it's not like we're telling you to sit down and carve out half an hour a week to do this. If you can't do it in 3 minutes, you're stuffing around.
Yeah. Really. And I guess behind that, and again, this is, you know, probably one of the most basic things, but, you know, you need to have a business bank account. You need to have, you know, have them all within the same institution, so that when you do this transfer, it's, you know, you're not having to log in and out of different accounts and, you know, waiting for clearance times and that sort of thing. So
on that, Barefoot Investor, Mike in Profit First, my clients hear it all the time. I also have a Facebook group for tradies called Profit First for Tradies. I nag about this all the time. You must have a business bank account and you don't pay monthly account fees. It is a waste of money. I am all for banks making money for their shareholders, absolutely. I just don't believe that we need to help that along by paying monthly account fees. There are a number of banks out there now who don't charge business monthly account fees. So NAB, Bank West, Commonwealth Bank recently at the end of last year changed one of their accounts. There are some others as well. So if you are with a bank that is charging your monthly account keeping fee, give them a call and tell them you want to look at another option that is fee-free for the monthly account keeping fees. And then it doesn't matter how many accounts you have. Mm. So a standard Profit First for Tradies bank account would be 7 bank accounts. Now, if you're not aware of what Profit First is in the system, that may seem a little bit crazy, but once you understand the system, that would make perfect sense. But there's no need to waste money on account keeping fees. So that's my biggest tip. Make the phone call, do an internet search, just don't waste money on bank fees, monthly account keeping fees.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and that's sort of what you said at the beginning, you know, trim down your expenses that aren't necessary, whether it's insurance that you're paying on a car that you got rid of a year ago, or like you say, bank fees. Mm-hmm. And again, whilst it sounds trivial or you know, small, when you add that up over the course of the year or, you know, the term of your business, it can add up to a lot.
What I generally say with that as well is people, you know, nobody's excited to ring their bank and ask to change their bank account. Like, you know, people are not happy to do that. But if you think most businesses will have at least 2 accounts, if you're getting charged $10 on each of those accounts, so $120 each account, that's $240 for 1 year. Even if you spend half an hour on that phone call, which you shouldn't be, it should be a 15-minute or less phone call, isn't your, you know, to be able to save $240 in half an hour, is that not worth it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you consider that, it's a pretty good hourly rate.
Exactly.
For what, like, you've saved. For
the, you know, many tradies are not, many tradies would have to go out and work how many hours to be able to then pay that for that year. So you're actually saving that and frees you up some time as well. So Profit First helps tradies change their attitude around things, particularly, you know, giving the bank a call. You know, if you're with Telstra, nobody's excited to ring Telstra and ask for a better deal on your mobile. Like, we all know how that conversation is going to be long-winded and drawn out. Mm-hmm. But again, if it means saving some money for a half an hour phone call, then why wouldn't we do it?
Yeah. And so just in what you're saying there and about especially those sort of back-end administrative tasks, how have you found the dynamic between a tradesman and obviously you've got first-hand experience here, but a tradesman and their wife or significant other and vice versa? As what would you, if you found anything, or is it a case-by-case basis entirely as to how well that works, or in your experience, is that something you deal with?
As in when they implement Profit First?
Yeah, but I guess with Profit First aside, more so just, you know, the success rate or not of a tradie and his or her other half being a part of the business and, you know, being able to manage these back-end administrative tasks while they're out on the road and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So what I find is with the tradies who have, you know, wife or partner doing the bookkeeping or the admin side of things, I find that a lot of times the other person is being lumped with those jobs because the tradie's out on the tools and the tradie's out, you know, earning the money. And I find what happens is a lot of the time the partner doesn't have the skills nor experience in that area and gets really, really overwhelmed and, again, doesn't know where to turn. And the tradie's out working 60, 70 hours a week and it just kind of becomes this perfect storm of stress and it's not fun. I quite often see clients who are in this situation. A lot of the time it's when the partner finally says, I can't do this part anymore, you need to find somebody else to do it, and then they come to us and we help them out. But again, that's why I come back to making sure we're super efficient, because if there's a partner who's doing these sorts of things who doesn't you know, is not as excited about this kind of stuff as we are, because this is what we live and breathe and love, we make sure that it is really simple and a system that they can follow without having to read, you know, a manual and work out how to do these things. We break everything down to really simple steps, okay? For example, with the Profit First type of thing, for my clients, I have a really one-page overview of step one, do this, step two, blah, 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 and that's what they need to follow. Again, it takes the thinking out of it for them, so they just know, follow the process. They can see what the outcome's going to be and they just follow those through. But I do see a lot of partners, husbands and wives, really struggle with the finances because neither of them are great at it and neither of them can kind of take control in a way that they're really confident about it. And I think that's what one of the reasons why I love what I do is because that then flows on to the kids and the family. So to be able to help them implement little steps that are going to give them back some time or stop them fighting about the money, which then means that the family and the kids are going to be so much happier. I was my parents were self-employed when I was younger. So, you know, I grew up with parents who were always working long hours and doing all that sort of stuff. So to be able to just break it down, make it really simple for anyone to follow, that's probably one of the most fun things for me to see is when particularly the partner will say, oh, this is easy. I can do this. I never thought I could do this before. Like, it's not, I don't want to add more stress to family. I actually want to take that away. So that's why we break it down, make it super, super simple, because otherwise, you know, we all know tradies who have been in that situation who, unfortunately, divorce rates are quite high, and it comes back to being about money in many cases. So
yeah, 100%.
That's what we try to help.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, aside from, like you say, it's, there's that resentment of being sort of forced into something. But I've seen in the past as well where, you know, the partner, and it's been male and female, who's been doing the books has, you know, sometimes has had enough knowledge to see that things are going bad and withheld information and, you know, like maybe not paid a bill or something. And next thing you know, that compounds. And yeah, it, like you say, it is literally that perfect storm and can be, you know, catastrophic in its results, not only affecting the business, but then affecting the, you know, the most important thing, and that is the home life. So, yeah, I think it's a it's great, yeah, to, like you say, and again, it all comes back to systems and, you know, processes and logical things to follow that makes everyone's life and, easier.
Yeah, simple systems and processes, because what we quite often default to when we think of a system or a process is, you know, I think back to when I was a financial planner for a Big Four bank. Like, we had these folder after folder after folder of these, like, processes.
Manuals.
Nobody ever looked in the bloody folders. Like, nobody looked in those things. And I think that's kind of what we default to. So here we like to keep it very, very simple, so it's actually usable. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. And again, the sort of the contradiction or the paradox in all of this is that As a tradie of your respective trade, you'll have a whole heap of systems, whether you're aware of it or not, but, you know, that are simple steps, whether it's, you know, getting a job site ready for a job or doing a particular task specific to your trade, you know, and we all do them daily. And so it stands to reason that, you know, we've all got the capacity to apply them to anything. And, yeah, to have, especially for something as important as our finances, I think, it's a big thing.
And it's just that change. Yeah, that change in mindset I find is the biggest one. Once tradies start to see the little changes and the benefits of that, then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, actually, this is not too hard." Whereas the default for it, for any of us, I guess, really is, if we don't know it or understand it, we feel like it's hard and it's going to be a hassle. But once we start to see and get in there and do some things, it's not actually as bad as we made out. And I hear all the time, probably from 99% of my tradies, you know, I'm just a dumbo, you know, I'm just a concreter, I'm just a, you know, electrician, I'm just a builder. And it's like, that to be able to do those things, you couldn't do those things without the knowledge and skills in your area. Numbers are not any scarier. It's just an area that they haven't had education in. Like, they go back to being the apprentice. You know, they're an apprentice at one point when they did their trade, and they had to learn their skills, and that's what I just say to them. You're just starting back at the apprenticeship stage. Like, you can be the tradie in your numbers. Like, you can get to that point. It won't happen overnight, but they can and do it.
Yeah, that's right. With the right mentor or with the right trainer, you know, someone who's going to nurture that and understand the fact that they are a tradie. You know, they're not a commerce student. You know, so some of these terms that are thrown around, and again, it's that whole thing about, you know, the dumb question is the one that doesn't get asked. But, you know, when you're an adult who is the, you know, at the pinnacle of their profession, i.e. the business owner of a trade-based business, you know, it's pretty humbling to have to turn around and ask someone a question that might seem basic. But, you know, having that trust and relationship, like we discussed before, about choosing the right accountant or having the right bookkeeper or in your case, having the right business coach there to guide you through it all, you know, that it means that you're saving so many mistakes to be made and just getting off on the right foot from the outset. And that's all that any of us would ever wish for any of our apprentices. You know, that's why we look after our apprentices. You know, we don't want them to make the same mistakes as us. We want them to learn. We want them to absorb what we're teaching. But, you know, that's the whole point of us being there as mentors, is to guide them through, you know, so they can leverage our experience and streamline their learning journey. So,
yeah, Exactly. And what I find is that we have this, I guess, culture within small business owners in Australia that we don't talk about the downsides as much as we should. We will, you know, we're at a barbecue and our cash flow is a bit tight, staffing's a bit this, you know, there's sort of those general things. But everybody else thinks that the other business owner is really well versed in all of these sorts of things. From my experience and over working with, you know, hundreds of different tradies, everyone's in the same position. But, you know, Bill thinks Ben knows and has got his numbers down pat, and Ben thinks Brian has, but in actual fact, they don't because they're not taught it. So I guess one of my biggest things that I like to get out there to traders is don't look at other business owners and think that they've got it all going on and then put yourself down because you're not like them. In most instances, they don't have the numbers going on. They are, you know, working as hard as they can to try and keep everything above board and afloat. So yeah, don't compare yourself to others and don't assume that you're the one who's missing out on that information and missing out on that education.
Yeah, no, for sure, because no doubt the mean average is pretty close across the board. So everyone's got their own challenges and that
exactly.
sort of stuff. Yeah. All right, so I mean, I think we're getting pretty close to the end now, Katie. But I guess what I was hoping you could give us was maybe, and I think, you know, obviously cash flow is one of them. But in all reality, what are with the people? Let's say if we consider all of the new customers that come to you, what have you seen as being their biggest roadblock and biggest issue when it comes to their business? Is it literally what we've spoke about today, the accounting side of things and knowing their numbers?
I think the biggest challenge they have is just realizing two things, that they know more than they think they know around the numbers, and that everyone is not doing as good as they seem. And once they get over those two issues, then the path has opened up and they become much more open to learning their own path to financial success. And I think that's a big one. We tend to compare ourselves, you know, to the next person. Somebody might have 15 staff and you think they're doing really well, but they still maybe not taking home any money. So once they can allow themselves to believe that they can do it, that's three quarters of the battle, the mindset around it, which is probably not something that, you know, I don't think tradies sit around talking about their mindset. But once they can sort of put that aside and go, right, I'm going to have a go, what's the worst that can go wrong? What is the worst that can go wrong if you learn a little bit about this type of thing? You know, you're always going to be in front.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, and just to finish, books. Now, obviously, we've got the Profit First ones, which I recommend as well. You've mentioned Barefoot Investor. Have you got a couple of others that you've got on the top of your head that the listeners could seek out in order to give themselves a bit of motivation, whether it doesn't necessarily have to be business, but just like you spoke about mindset and that sort of thing? And I've put you on the spot a bit, I know.
What was that? It just came out. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Books. Obviously, we've spoken about the Profit First series. Also, you mentioned the Barefoot Investor. Are there any other books off the top of your head that we could recommend to the listeners to help them out with their individual journeys?
Oh, I am a very avid book reader, so I have a lot. But keeping in mind, tradies are probably not the most excited to sit down with a book and read. Mike actually has a new one coming out in April, which is called Fix This Next, which I am also certified in. And what that does, it is a way to review your business to find what you need to fix next. So instead of looking at and going, oh my gosh, it's all a shambles, where do I start? It's a very clear and concise step-by-step analysis that we do to work out what problem needs to be solved first, and that steps you through it there. So that comes out in April. That would probably be my next suggestion as well. Mike's books are very easy to read, so that would be my next suggestion. Of course, Profit First for Tradies when that comes out next month as well. But apart from that,
yeah, no, I'm definitely going to look that one up, because I mean, I think that's something we've all been through, you know, where you've got so much on your plate and you feel so overwhelmed that you end up doing nothing, you know, because you think, exactly, yourself, where do I start? You know, this whole thing's a shit fight. Like, what's the point in even starting something? Having that.
So then you just go to work for more hours and yeah, the cycle continues. So, yeah. Fix This Next will help with that. It helps you pinpoint where to start.
Yeah, Fix This Mess, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's out on 28th of April.
28th, cool. I'll put all this in the podcast notes for everyone. So, well, Katie, thank you very much for your time. It's been a great chat, and it's been a great insight to hear from someone, a professional of the Profit First system. For me specifically, having read the Profit First for Contractors, to hear you talk about the system has given me more insight as well, just in this chat. So I really appreciate that. So everyone knows, did you want to just tell us what your website is, and again when Profit First for Tradies is due for release and how we can get a hold of it, and then I'll transcribe all that into the
podcast. Excellent. My website is profitfirstfortradies.com.au. As of 2nd of March, I will be updating the book on the website. So at the moment, that's just my standard website. The book will be available late next month, and you'll be able to buy that directly from my website, or you will be able to buy it from, you know, the likes of Booktopia and Amazon and that type of thing. I also, as I briefly mentioned, I've got a Facebook group that is just specifically for tradies called Profit First for Tradies. So if you want to search that up and send a request, I just really wanted a place where people could ask questions. For me, I love questions because it helps us all learn. So there's nearly, I think we're getting close to 1,000 people in that group now of tradies, partners, of all different walks of life in there, who can just pop in, ask questions. I give hints and tips and do some lives and all that sort of, lots of education pieces in there as well. So feel free to join that too. And that'll give you a bit of a taster about what Profit First is and how it works with other people's businesses before you sort of have to, dive in. You don't have to dive into Profit First and do everything all at once. You can just step by step, as I said, that one step at a time, learn a little bit more about it, see if it, you know, suit you. Are you ready to get some more information and so on and so forth from there?
Yeah, great. And obviously, given the way things are in this day and age with everything digital, anyone across Australia, I'm assuming you've got clients everywhere. You know, not just obviously face to face, and overcome that with Zoom as we are now and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I work with clients all over Australia. I always have. When I started my business many years ago, my whole purpose was that I could work from wherever I needed to work from. So everything is done virtually. And that is, again, it's a time saver for all of us. As I said, Efficient Trading is about being efficient. There's no point people wasting money driving to meetings when we could be doing something else. So clients all over Australia.
Excellent. All right, Katie. Well, again, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us. I will put all of those details in the podcast notes so that everyone can follow the links and register their interest for the book once it comes out.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Thanks, Katie.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tradie HQ podcast. For more information, head to tradiehqwa.com.au and follow us on Facebook at the Tradie HQ podcast group. Have a great day.
Awesome. You there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey. That was great. Thanks for that. I just did my little outro then.
So oh, no worries.
It's all good. No, that's awesome. That was really fortunate that we crossed paths via Will, because that was a really good chat. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, also send me your postal address, and when I get these books in my hot little hand, I will send you a copy.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So you can have a look through.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cool. How cool is that story with the whole lunch thing with Mike? That's
Yeah, it was. And so, and the backstory to even that was, so my daughter was in year six last year, and we had a new principal who decided to do a Mother's Day breakfast, which was that morning. And so we were in Melbourne. So for months I agonised over, I've got to go to the Mother's Day breakfast. Oh, I really want to go to this. And back and forth, you know, typical parent guilt.
Yeah.
And because my daughter was in year six, it was the only one she was going to have in primary school.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally said to her, like, I looked at flights and, like, I tried every, because we had a dinner on the Thursday night and then the day on the Friday. I looked at every option and just couldn't do it. And I said to my daughter, I said, oh, I really, really, really want to go to this day, but it means I won't be able to come to Mother's Day. She just looked at me and went, I don't care. You're always at school doing everything because I'm part of the PNC. And I was like, oh, okay. So I think that as well was, I just knew I'd given up something that was important to me to be down there for that day. So I had to be all in. I just had to make sure that I got the most out of it. And I think, you know, I think because of that, good things come your way. Like, it just... You know, there was 14 of us there. Mike could have sat anywhere for lunch and he just happened to sit next to me.
Well, that's one of those things, you know, like as they say, you just show up. You know, like that's half the battle is showing up. And again, that's why, excuse me, that's why another thing that I've seen, and you've probably seen it yourself as well, is that, you know, once guys do start out on their own, and I mean, my background's in the army as well, so I was 11 years in the army, and I've seen a similar thing with guys trying to resettle themselves outside of the defence force, is that, you know, let's say a guy or girl has been working for a company, you know, a mid-size, whatever size company, and, you know, their daily routine is they need to turn up at 7:30 for their toolbox meetings and all that sort of stuff. And then when they start out on their own, that whole routine gets thrown into disarray, you know, like that sometimes, if you know, if they might not have a job until 9 o'clock, well then, you know, that's 2 hours of work time that they just typically don't use. So the other thing I'm hoping is that, you know, the members for Tradie HQ, that'll just become the place they go to work at 7 or 7:30 every morning. And, you know, just by doing that, there's a strong possibility that they're going to, you know, talk to another tradie, you know, get a job just by virtue of being there, because, you know, there's a plumber and a sparky talking together and they help each other out. So literally just showing up is sort of, you know, part of the battle.
And that's a really good point to get out to your potential clients about that routine and making that time to spend there. And I think because we kind of think of, when we're meeting other people, we think of like it as networking, and we feel like it's that awkward, pushy, salesy networking type of thing. But the best things come when you just happen to chat to somebody. Like Will, I had a chat to Will last year. And at that stage, he didn't decide to go ahead with anything because he's doing some stuff with his business. When I got a phone call from him, I was like, oh, okay. And something also clicked with me then, that we have to be really aware of just our general chat, what they can do for other people when we don't even realise it. And if we don't get out there and we don't have those conversations, we're actually taking something away from those people that we could be meeting, because we're taking away that opportunity. So particularly with that phone call from Will, it kind of all just clicked and went, oh, I can have a habit of being a little bit of a hermit. Like, I don't go out a lot if I don't need to. I go through phases, but the book has obviously made me get out and meet a lot more people. And yeah, having that space, like I live in the middle of nowhere, so there's nowhere around here, but having that space to get up, as you say, go, spend, even if it is just 2 hours there, you just never know what's gonna come of it.
No, that's it. I mean, it's because there's, and that is the whole psychological side of it as well, because you go from, you know, working with a whole bunch of your peers to, you know, this social isolation where you're getting up, you're leaving home, you're going out working on your own all day or with an apprentice, and you know, you just miss out on that interaction with your peers, you know, or with people who have an idea of what you're going through, or, you know. So yeah, and like you say, networking, I mean, I'm a big advocate for networking, but not from a sense of like, you know, a BNI or, you know, this thing where it's, you know, you're there because, you know, their sole purpose is to raise their KPIs against the other chapters in terms of how much business has been put through. Like, I don't think tradies like that. You know, tradies like networking to be talking to other tradies, you know. So it's not necessarily a business network. It's more of a support network. But, you know, by virtue of that sort of not expecting something to come of it, you know, and just having a chat, like typically stuff does come from it. Like you said, you know, just by having a chat with Will, not being pushy and saying, well, you know, here, read my bloody ebook, and, you know, ultimately try and funnel him into like some sort of, you know, $50,000 mastery plan and that sort of thing. Like, people can see right through that sort of stuff. It's the genuine talks and, you know, actually caring for the person you're talking to without, you know, expecting something out of it that that makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Good one. All right, Katie. Well, again, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed our chat, and that's amazing. An amazing gesture for you to offer that that book. So I really appreciate it. I'll send you.
No worries.
I'll read it and do a review on it, and I'll certainly push it out to my guys on the on my Facebook group as well. So thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. Have a great day.
Wonderful. Thank you. You too.
Yeah. Okay. See ya.
Bye.